make 1 point per email. One of the advantages of email compared with traditional letters is that it does not cost any more to send several emails than it does to send one, right? So if you need to communicate with a colleague about a number on different matters, consider writing a separate email on each subject, because then it is different matters. That way, your correspondent can reply to each one individually and in the appropriate time frame. One topic might only require a short reply that he or she can send straight away. Similarly, as an action is completed on one by one as requested, feedback can be provided by responding to each individual mail. So I guess the way in terms of communication, that if it's a different subject for different topics, that means so I can ideally write an email and write a different subject for each one. Another topic might require more research. Yes, what do you want to give information based on what? So it might require more research. By writing separate messages, you should get clearer answers while helping other people manage their inboxes better. If you do want to put several points in an email, perhaps because they relate to the same project, consider presenting each point in separate numbered paragraph. This makes each point stand out, significantly increasing the likelihood that each point will be addressed. Now, take this. Make 1 point per email. Subject: sales report. Now, this subject says it all. It's mentioned clearly, sales report. So, what is the focus on? Hi, Nalini. Thanks for sending the report last week. I read through it yesterday and I feel that you need more specific information regarding our sales in paragraph 2. I also felt that the tone could be a bit more formal. So ideally, when you talk of tone being a bit more formal, you have to understand that how should it be worded? Should it be worded better? Now, when I say should it be worded better, what is the focus on? The report is going to be read by our executive team, okay, and needs to reflect our professionalism. So what is the focus on? That if it's going to be read by people who are at top management, you definitely need to understand that you have to word it very apt, APT. Apt means to the point, to the mark. I wanted to let you know that I've scheduled a meeting with the PR department this Friday regarding the new ad campaign. It's in the morning and will be in the small conference room. Please let me know if you can make that time. Right? So we need to understand that how has it been put forward. The focus is the sales report. What about the sales report? It's been very clear, more specific information, paragraph 2. Now, do we understand this is the way an effective email can be written? When Nalini is reading it, imagine if you and I are Nalini, what comes to your mind? That in the second paragraph, some more information needs to be put. So I don't even, if I'm the writer and the sender, I don't even need to read the entire email. I go to paragraph 2 and realize that what else do I need to put forward, right? So also, I need to word it better since people at top management will be reading it. Subject. Now again, make 1 point per email. So good example, one mail, one subject. Revisions for sale report. So we're talking of the sales report out here. Hi Nalini, thanks for sending in 15 sales report last week. 15 sales that report last week. I read through it yesterday and feel that you need more specific information regarding our sales figures. Now here, it's been put forward even more appropriate. What was in the previous one which we read? Information in paragraph 2. Here, sales figures. It's so direct. Remember one thing, the more direct we are, the more better it is, and in terms of communication, and I will get a reply as per what I want. I also felt that the tone could be bit more formal, bit, there's a mistake here, the S is not required, bit more formal, hence relook. Please remove casual remarks of our Pune manager. The report is going to be read by executive team in the last week of October in Mumbai, and one needs to reflect our professionalism. Thanks for your hard work on this. Now, here it's put forward very clearly as to what should also be deleted. This is very much important and required. Now, there's a line of appreciation here, which is very important. Thanks for your hard work on this. So you're actually making attempts to improve on the way the person is writing. It's called constructive criticism, right? Without offending the sentiments of the person, putting forward clearly what you expect, and at the same time, what is the next aspect? That you're complimenting the person for his or her work. Friday 10/9 11 a.m. meeting, okay, with PR department. Hi Nalini, I wanted to let you know that I've scheduled a meeting with Sri Dalal of PR department with his staff for this Friday regarding the new ad campaign on Pass in Kanpur. So what is it regarding? It's at 11 a.m. and will be in the finance conference room. Please let me know by tomorrow if you can make it that time. Thanks. Right, so we are asking also if it is possible for you to be there at that point of time. Specify the response you want. Make sure to include any call to action or feedback you want, such as phone call, report or follow-up appointment. Make sure you include your contact information, very important, your name, title, phone numbers, your designation, name, title, all of it. Do this even with internal messages. I guess if you're communicating with someone every day, then you don't need to specify your designation or numbers every time. Remember, the easier you make it for someone else to respond, the more likely they are to do so. They will do so, right? When you have a very short message to convey, you can use the EOM, using EOM headlines. What is EOM? End of message technique. You can put all the relevant information in the subject line followed by the letters EOM. This lets the recipient know that he or she does not even have to open the mail. All the information is right there. The subject line is in the message. Example, subject 10-5 meeting, 10 a.m. conference room 203 on pass procedure. End of message. All aspects are put forward here. The date, time, the topic. So who, what, when, where, why. So why would you need to write anything else? EOM is fine. Be a good correspondent. Make sure that you go through your inbox regularly and respond as appropriate. This is a simple act of courtesy and will serve to encourage others to reply to your emails in a timely manner. If a detailed response is required to an email and you do not have the time to pull together the information straight away, send a holding reply saying that you have received the message and indicating when you will respond fully. So you have received the message, maybe give them some information as to when you will reply. How frequently you should check your mail will depend on the nature of your work, so communication via mails. Try to avoid interrupting a task you're working on to check your mail simply because you wonder if something interesting has come in. Yes, that anxiety, that worry, that stress that you're expecting and email. Always set out of your office option. So set your out of office option when you're going to be away from your email for a day or more, whether on leave or because you're at meetings. We just discussed sometime back, automated reply that, hi, I will be out of office from the 9th to the 19th October. So you're making it very clear. So for example, out of office option, please note that I'm out of office but will endeavor to return your email upon my return. So this ideally is the most effective way to keep the people in the loop, so that no one is wondering why you haven't replied for a long time. People may probably misinterpret since you've not replied. Or for example, it is about a business deal and say due to some reasons you cannot reply. So instead of losing out on the business deal, at least you have mentioned that you're out of office. Then of course it is up to you all to converse and stay in touch and interact, maybe not via email, but directly through telephonic conversations. So what do we mean by misuse when we talk of emails? Most organizations believe email is one of the biggest productivity snags, even though email is probably the most important office communication tool available. Technology has eliminated many of our personal boundaries, right? Any person from anywhere can ideally connect to you via email. We are making ourselves more accessible to people from all cultures and all other countries. Some of us even have allowed email to drive our actions, when in reality, our communication should be driven by our goals and the tasks required accomplishing them. What we have forgotten is the fact that email is a communication tool. Now, what is the focus on out here? When we talk of misuse, what ideally are we discussing? We're saying that any email, the focus is so much on the written communication that we are not ideally focusing on what we would probably do if it was face to face. Also, when it's written communication, we cannot read between the lines, which is per se otherwise there when we talk of verbal communication. So one very important aspect is that we ideally, when we discuss email, we're too focused on what is there in terms of the content rather than focusing on various other aspects which are equally important. Think about the number of times you've received an email message that made you wonder what the sending person meant, right? Or why have you even got the message in the first place? You probably say, I don't need to read this. Why she sent it to me? Or why is he sent it to me? Right? Especially if it doesn't relate to you, it's not concerned with your department. So you're more concerned with marketing. Maybe other activities are not concerned with you. So you feel, why am I getting this kind of an email? It doesn't even have me in this, I'm not even involved in this department. It doesn't have to inform me. Why are they probably informing me? Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, think about the times you've sent an email that returned to you with a bunch of questions because you did not take the time to write it clearly. Then, of course, you have made it complicated. Then, of course, you have not written it appropriately. This is where productive communication breaks down with office email. This is a snag. The very fact that what you put forward, instead of them replying to you, they have counter-questioned you. Of course, you are not appropriate in terms of writing an email. Of course, you're ineffective as such to write an email. And of course, you do not know how to word it properly. A preventive measure against misuse. Productive communication. When you talk of pass a preventive measure against misuse, what are we discussing? Productive communication can be greatly improved by implementing a simple mental checklist that you can run through before you hit the send button for each and every email that you write. Yes, we ideally do read the email at least once before we press the send button. We look into what should be deleted or what should be added. This simple set of rules will grade your email, so to speak, and let you know whether it has passed or failed the test. The process is designed to help you think about what it is you're trying to communicate before sending the email off, ensuring that the recipient will understand what you're striving to communicate. In addition, by writing more effective email messages, you will greatly reduce the quantity of emails you receive each day. You see a decline in the sales of goods. You call your immediate subordinates, ask each one of them to explain or give reasons. So first prepare a draft, an email, to give reasons as to why there's a decline in sales of goods. since the last 6 months. Especially it's Diwali time, it's festival time, and then there's going to be Christmas coming up. So why is it that there's a reduction in sales? So the way it is written in terms of explanation, the points are very feasible and easy to understand. The four questions the past process asks: purpose. What is the purpose? First, does your email correlate with a meaningful objective or task? If it does not, you may need to ask yourself whether the email needs sending at all. So the purpose. After concluding that the message is vital to something of importance, you need to read your email message and ensure that its purpose is clearly communicated through the message body. The prime reason, purpose. Try to summarize what you're striving to accomplish through your communication in the first paragraph itself. That way, the reader is able to read the remaining content of your email from the right context. If your purpose is specific, it'll be easier for the opposite person to know that on what front and in what context are you sending this email. Action. When you talk ideally of PASS, a preventive measure against misuse, that means I do not complicate a message, I send it with a purpose. Next is action. What action needs to result from your email? Does it have a due date? That's why generally in the last paragraph, like we write, we request you to send the details by the 18th, or we will have no choice but to approach another customer. In many of our communications, we clearly state the purpose of our email, but we do not make clear what are expectations of the email's recipient. By clearly stating what we need accomplished, we have a much better chance of it getting done. So once you have the purpose, then you go to action. Support. What supporting documentation needs to be attached to your communication? So the various attachments. You need to ensure that you've identified and attached any and all supportive documentation required by your communication purpose or needed by the recipient to perform any of the actions you have requested. You cannot expect somebody to read the monthly sales report if you have not attached the monthly sales report to the email message. That, I guess, is a simple logic. And summary. So when you talk ideally of purpose, action, support, summary, these aspects. Have you successfully summarized your email message in the subject line? The step is critical to improving your email communication standards. And a great trick is to write your subject line after composing the body of your email message, not before composing the body. It's introduction, body, conclusion. So they say first you should compose your paragraph, second paragraph especially. Then you write the subject, it'll be better for you. Pressing send. Your email message is ready to send only after you have asked and it has passed these four simple questions. You have asked what? That what is the purpose? So I discussed with you some time back. Who, what, when, where, why. It's ideally more or less the same. It may have taken you a little more time to prepare the email, but there are many benefits that far outweigh the little bit of extra time and effort you have invested. Communication via emails. Unlike verbal communication, effective mail communication is not hard to learn and does not require any exceptional skills or knowledge. Keep in mind this guide to writing professional emails and you should have no trouble. Well, we yet feel written communication is a skill. You need to develop that skill to write effectively. You need to know that what should I put forward and not put forward. 17 do's and don'ts. Do personalize your emails. Address the person by name versus dear recipient. When you say dear sir or dear ma'am, and when you address the person by name, it gives a personal touch, a sense of belongingness, a sense of being connected. Do use the correct construction for your emails. They should have a subject line, a greeting, a header, the body, the closing, signature, do spell check. Well, ideally, we should be thorough with our spellings. Say if the server is down and you have to send an email right now, it will not be possible. So your director says, okay, write it on the letterhead, let us courier it. It's already 6 in the evening. The email will not go through. At least we can courier it so it reaches by tomorrow. Say if it's within the same vicinity. So your spell check should be of no use because you should be thorough with spellings. Why are we saying no use? We assume that you're very thorough with your spellings, but it is yet recommended that spell check is done for safety's sake. Do communicate the crux of the email. What is the root cause of you sending this email in 30 to 35 characters? Many emails are deleted on account of poor subject lines. Yes. Do not use hi as a subject line. It's not acceptable. It's not professional. This is often automatically sent to spam by your email provider. Do use the hi important only when it is needed or indeed important. When you're giving information, how you give it, is it of great importance? In which order are you going? How effectively are you putting it across? Do not be careless about using 2CC BCC, right? Circulated copy, blind, right? So when you talk of CC, who else are you forwarding it to? And BCC. Do remember to attach the files you want to send. Many emails are often resent because the sender has forgotten to attach the files. Do not ever write an email in anger. Please wait. Wait till you're calmer, else you will always regret it. You have to have the patience. At times, people frame an email. It's like a draft when they're angry. Then once they calm down, they realize that a lot of changes need to be made because you can't send an email when you are angry. Font. Choose one of the following three styles: Arial, Times New Roman, and Verdina. The best font size for the human eyes is 10 to 12. As with pens, stick to blue and black for font colors. We need to know most of the times we're using either Arial, Times New Roman, or Verdina. Left align your emails always. Alignment looks more orderly and structured. Do use bullets or numbered lists when describing a process or listing something. Do use adequate spacing between paragraphs to make it easier to read. Do remember to include all important contact details in your signature, right? All important contact details in your signature. Do not use emoticons. No smileys. Yellow smileys, not permissible. Emoticons, not permissible. Do not use bold, underline, or italics unless you want to highlight something in the body of the email. Ideally, we suggest no. Do not use bold, underline, or italics. Do avoid all capitals, else it is the equivalent of shouting on an email. In some organizations, we yet have people saying that, of course, the most important aspect is subject, but 4 to 5 sentences are written in capital or blocks. We do not recommend that since we feel it is inappropriate. But many of the organizations, people follow it because they just want others to know that these 4 sentences are what have to be put forward or conveyed. Keeping these 17 tips in mind, you should be on your way to writing crisp, professional, and effective emails. Effective email communication is an art, and like all art, it takes time and practice to become a true master. Informal communication is personal, unofficial, mostly oral or verbal. It is based on the realization that personal interaction among employees is healthy for an organization. It is always suggested that no matter what the undercurrents are, that means if there is some sort of disagreement, dispute, clash, it is yet important to have a bonding with the employees by constantly keeping them in the loop and interacting effectively. The purposes of informal communication are to educate through information sharing, to motivate through personal contacts and to resolve conflicts through participation and camaraderie. When I say camaraderie, being more friendly. It maintains enthusiasm, loyalty, and commitment by involving employees in organizational matters. Dedication and commitment of any employee in an organization is also on the basis of the way they are treated by the people. Very often, we realize that it gets easy for an employee to not be focused or dedicated or committed because of his motivational levels not being there or he or she getting demotivated. So a lot depends on the people at top management as to how they keep them motivated and enthusiastic at all points of time so that they feel a sense of being with that organization. Advantages. It is less official and less intimidating. It encourages flow of new ideas. It is personal, carries the enthusiasm of the participants rather than dry bureaucratic logic. Since it is usually oral, it allows two-way communication. When we talk of two-way communication, there's exchange of ideas. Verbal communication acts as a vehicle to ideally put forward or accept concepts and views. When we talk of verbal communication, it is two-way exchange of information, listening and talking being the most important aspects. It promotes a more open climate and reduces rumors that sprout in a formal environment filled with unanswered questions. It can foster harmonious relationships and cooperation based on shared concerns and interests. What are the disadvantages? It is too flexible and difficult to apply systematically. It can lead to spreading of inaccurate information and also to indiscriminate disclosure of confidential information, right? Information which needs to be kept confidential should always be a prime focus because there one cannot make a mistake. It is often colored by emotion and can distort the meaning. It is difficult to trace when an inquiry has to be made. It has little use in case of legal proceedings, right? When you talk of face-to-face or verbal, yes, in case of legal proceedings, where's the proof? There is no proof. An appropriate mixture of formal and informal communication is what a successful manager needs to employ for effective communication. There is no magic formula for finding this mixture. Intelligent leaders who understand the culture of the workplace and needs of its employees can find the suitable blend. So, when we talk of summary, most of the communication that takes place in business organizations or in any other sphere, except for colleges and educational or research institutes, is of informal nature. Present-day managers spend large part of their life in face-to-face conversation with their internal and external customers. When you talk to someone face-to-face, only 7% is conveyed by words, 38% is by tone of voice, 58% through body language, and that is missing in other forms of communication. This form of communication is put to the best use by managers during the daily staff meetings, reporting to the boss and tour area of their operations, right? So when you talk of communication, when you have ideally interaction with people in your day-to-day life, it will reduce misunderstanding, misinterpretation. It will involve more ways and means ideally to have effective facilitation communication techniques, right, whereby people are communicating with each other. There are ways and means to have collaborative thinking. There are ways and means to ideally understand each one's perspective, and which in the future will lead to effective interaction for all. Advantages of face-to-face communications includes rich experience. You learn a lot. For example, you learn how a person is handling stress effectively just because his or her boss has the capacity to do so. Immediate responses, freedom of expression, and faster resolution of conflicts. However, this form is difficult to practice, and the speaker often fails to get the desired attention from the other party. Telephone communication is the next best form of informal communication as it offers you live contact. While communication on phone, you must have a positive attitude, make the best use of your voice, tone, control of speed, and ensure clarity of message. When the sender has to transmit information that has to be used by the receiver frequently, or it contains technical details, it is better to communicate it through written message, because here we are talking of technical details. These messages need to be planned and written correctly as well as completely. Emails are now frequently used mediums of communication. When you compose an email message, there are some simple rules that you have to follow to ensure your emails have a positive impression and get you the response you want. Remember, subject lines are like headlines of a newspaper. Use them diligently. Cover a single subject per email. So, ideally, as we said, the 5 W's, and also the supporting material is very important for the person to have full information regarding that email. So, when we talk of self-assessment questions, why is informal communication assuming greater importance in the business environment? Managers are using face-to-face communication more effectively. How? Yes, it is more effective as of today. Under certain circumstances, it is necessary to pass on a message in writing. So, when can written communication be more effective? For example, one situation could be when you want to give information on technical grounds. Enumerate precautions you exercise to make your telephone call effective, right? We've discussed the tone, being prepared, clarity. Importance of messages lost when an email sent is faulty. The email which is sent does not serve the purpose. What are the common errors, right? So we've completed chapter 4. Thank you.